Hi, everybody. This is Yisachar Wartel. It is Thursday night. Basically, it's Erev Shabbos. And this week's Parsha is yet another double Parsha, although last week we didn't have one. But once again, as we've had fairly recently, a lot of double Parsha, we have Behar Bechukotai, or Bechukosai, as some might say. Now, let's see. There's so many different things to talk about between these two parshiot. And I'm kind of going through a couple different options as to what I would talk about. But let's start with Behar, shall we? And then if we have time, I'll get into Bechukotai. All right. So this Dvar Torah actually revolves around a drash that I heard by Rav Chanoch Waxman when I was in yeshiva a little over 10 years ago. So this is partially adapted off of some work that he had said. Now, most of this week's Parsha, specifically Behar, deals with the concepts and laws of Shemitah as well as the Yovel year. Now, Shemitah is the last year of an ongoing seven-year cycle, and Yovel is the year after these seven cycles, which is the 50th year. So 7 and 7 is 49, next one is 50. There's a crucial connection between the Shemitah year and Shabbat, Shabbos. Both are the seventh and final parts of a series. Both are times when certain types of work are forbidden and other unique laws are put into place. In fact, the term Torah uses for a seven-year cycle, or more so the completion of it, is Shabbos. As the Pasuk says in Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf, Avsfarat Lecha Sheva Shabbatot, Shanim Sheva Shanim Sheva Panim, and you shall count for yourself 7 years of Sabbath, 7 years times seven, 7 years seven times. Now, first the question is with regards to why this repetition is necessary. Well, 7 years of seven years of Sabbaths should be relatively self-explanatory, but perhaps it may be understood, and thus the Torah clarifies 7 years seven times. However, the Torah could simply have written the latter clause. Why does it need to specify that 7 years seven times is in fact the 7 years of Sabbath, or 7 years of Shabbos? This must be because there's an intrinsic connection between the seven-year cycle and the seven-day cycle, as would seemingly, in fact, be apparent. It also ties into Shavuos, but I'm not going to go there right now. Or more so the Sfirat Omer. In fact, the term Shabbos is mentioned seven times in the beginning of our Parsha. So getting back to this concept of seven, you know, more than the obvious respect to the Shabbos, it's mentioned seven times in the beginning of the Parsha, throughout a total of seven psukim, with the seventh pasuk being the one I mentioned, Svarat Lecha Shabbat Shabbatot. Furthermore, the term Shabbatot is written without a vav. Now, the Hebrew letter vav essentially signifies two things, the number six and the concept of hooking or connecting two things together, or two entities together. With respect to the number six, it seems clear that the term Shabbos, which signifies a complete distinction from the other 6 days of the week, right? The other 6 days of the week should remain a distinct component of seven, right? And this is the larger Kabbalistic thing, that seven binds the six together, but it's also independent of the six in a certain sense. I mean, it is dependent upon the six, but it's separate in its own right, right? Meaning Shabbos is independent and both dependent on the days of the week, right? So you can have seven that includes the six or seven that omits the six, and they both exist simultaneously. So just let that sink in, because that's kind of a complicated concept. But basically, Shabbos functions in multiple regards. It functions as a day in of itself, with its own functions, and it's also a day that functions with respect to preparing from and preparing for the previous and upcoming weeks. But so that's a notion of six in relation to seven. But in relation of the vav being a hook, that gets into a deeper concept, potentially deeper, or just different concepts, really. So ordinarily, during the six initial days of the week, one is constantly busy working, planning, worrying, etc., and therefore he or she needs something to hook the person back into spirituality. He has to take time to daven, bench, mind business ethics, etc. On Shabbat, you don't necessarily need to hook things you into spirituality. For the Shabbos day itself is, in fact, the hook, and one does not have to break his routine in order to connect to Hashem. It's a day to reflect and recognize Hashem as the master of the universe, and not be bogged down with everything else that's going on in one's life. And the same is true by the Shemitah year. For 6 years, one is busy planting, you're busy sowing, you're busy reaping, you're busy harvesting, and overall worrying about your crops and what you'll have to eat. However, for the seventh year, the Shemitah, or the Shabbos year, He places his trust in Hashem, or a Jew places his trust in Hashem, and is forbidden from doing the work on his field. It is specifically a time to reconnect, or even just connect, with one's spirituality and to recognize Hashem's presence. Now, once in a while, this one-year sabbatical is not enough, and we need a second year of reflection, not only as individuals, but specifically as a community, as a klal. And we have to set free any Jewish slaves, return any borrowed property, as we recognize that not only is the land not ours, but everything in the world, including people, houses, our property, etc., everything is given to us from Hashem. It is the ultimate time for spiritual reflection. In fact, the first six times that the word Yovel is mentioned in our Parsha, it is mentioned with a Vav. For many times, we simply cannot attain the level of spirituality that we would like, and we need something to hook or connect us with Hashem. However, when the seventh Yovel comes, which corresponds to the seventh, in this case, not the actual seventh Yovel, but the seventh millennium, right, which is the after the year 6000, it will bring, well, Nalav Dafka, but corresponding to the year 6000, it will bring with it the Mashiach, and will fully recognize the seventh of the lower sphere, which is the sphere of Malchut. Right, and we'll no longer need a hook. For we will not want anything but to be connected with Hashem and our spirituality. Getting to Bichukotai with a couple minutes I have left. It's interesting that the word Yovel itself seems to be related to the word Yevula, which means produce or abundance. And Rabbeinu Bachaye mentions that this is in fact related, and that the word of the root is determined by the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, "V'hayaka etchatua mayim, v'al yuval yishalach shorashav," and it shall be like a tree firmly planted by the water, and by the yuval it shall spread its roots. The word yuval is often translated as stream or flowing water, and Rabbeinu Bachaye explains it to be representative of a network with one source. It's related to a diversity of crops ultimately coming from one land or one blessing. And is also the Yovel year. The Yovel year is a time when everything returns to its source, to ancestral fields, houses, nutrients in the soil. We realize, again, as I said, we have to realize that everything we have in this world comes from Hashem. It's a greater, in a sense than just the Shemitah year, right? You have to realize that the one source which everything comes is Hashem. Now, Rabbeinu Bachaye also notes that the Yovel specifically begins on Yom Kippur, and not on Rosh Hashanah, as the essence of Rosh Hashanah is submission to Hashem as king, symbolized by the curving of the shofar. Now, the shofar of Yom Kippur is not the same as the shofar of the Yovel, which is actually a straight shofar. It is a direct connection, right? Rosh Hashanah, we have to kind of build ourselves up. We have to work on that relationship. The Yovel is more direct. It's more piercing, as it kind of is the intensity of Yom Kippur. The culmination of 50 years. The 49th year going to the 50th year actually parallels the 49 days leaving Mitzrayim. Ah, here we go, right? So I did bring it back after all, right? The 49 days leaving Mitzrayim until the 50th day, which is Matan Torah, we have the Sefirat HaOmer, which we're, don't forget to count tonight. On Har Sinai, on the 50th day, the shofar was called a Yovel, was heard all around. However, because of the Chet Egel, the thin and golden calf, the Torah in the form of the Licho was not truly given until Yom Kippur. So it's one, another connection. I actually heard, I don't have time to get into it now, but there's actually many connections between the Shemitah year and Yom Kippur. But ultimately, Yom Kippur was when the Jews were forgiven, actually, and as well as Shavuos and Yom Kippur, they're all interrelated. Yom Kippur is a day of atonement, a day of kapara, where one can rid himself of sin and return to his prior state, much as the houses and fields in Yovel return to their previous state. Now, the word Yovel can be spelled either Yud Bet Lamed or Yud Vav Bet Lamed, with or without a Vav, giving it a numerical value of either 47 or 53, the average of which is, you guessed it, 50, right? The same as the year that it corresponds to. Now, this word is numerically equal to Hagadolah, again, with or without a Vav, meaning the Great One. It is the pinnacle of a series. Right, we have the seven-year cycle, another seven-year cycle. We have seven-year cycles, and ultimately we have a pinnacle which comes after that, right? Which allows us to go back and remember the source of all and everything we have, which is the Great One, Hagadolah, Hakadosh or Hagadol, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbat Shalom.